Of course, I cannot help but at least make a quick connection, even though it's not what I wanted to speak about. But I just think the line is so important in the St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. We think this is something new, but it's been around since even then, where he says, "See to it that no one captivate you with an empty and seductive philosophy, according to the traditions of men, and according to the elemental powers of the world, and not according to Christ." So it seems like from generation after generation, the human beings have been captivated by man's philosophy, human beings coming up with ideas rather than Christ. And there's always, so the challenge has been around for a very long time, and we always have that tendency to take worldly values and then be captivated by them and watch what happens to us when we are. But I think that one of the ways to kind of make sure that's in check is to do what Jesus did in the gospel. What I really want to speak about is that Jesus went up to pray, went up to the mountain to pray to his Father. And as I was reflecting on this reading, I was thinking, so what do you think that prayer was like? Like, today we hear Jesus spent the night in prayer with his Father. And I think, what did he do when he was praying to his Father? Like, did he kneel down on the mountain in the middle? Did he lean up against a tree while he was praying? Did he sit down on a rock, or did he walk around and pray and talk? What was that like? What do you think that could have been like? But whatever it is we come up with, it is maybe an image if we're using the imagination to kind of put ourselves in the story of that gospel, maybe to be with him on that mountain when he prays. It would seem to me, and I think it would like to make sense, that whatever it is, it would be intense. You know, it would be intense, it would be intimate, you know, because we're being one with his Father and being immediate, you know, that close, that kind of prayer. And as I thought about it, I think, well, you know what? That's what we are called to have as well. As adopted sons and daughters of God, we're invited into that same relationship. Jesus wants that same kind of prayer that he has with his Father. That kind of oneness, as he kept saying, as the two of them are one, so he wants us to be one with them. And going to pray. Now, you know, the Bible connects Jesus' night in prayer with the things he did the next day. So it's like if he had to have that kind of prayer in order to do what he did the next day. And what he did was something very, very important, right? Calling the 12 apostles. That's what he did after he comes down that mountain. And pretty significant to select the 12. And then he met the crowds, right? He had to endure all of the crowds. And so you think as well, if the Bible put these together, that his life up on that mountain with his relationship with God helped him to endure and to make important decisions in life that affected, you know, the church forever, the 12 he chose, when you think about it. And I think maybe that's the image, is the model for us. You know, a kind of prayer that we should have, especially in making important decisions, you know, and sometimes when we don't, it's having that abiding, intimate, and immediate relationship with God so that we also too can endure the day. And I know that I've heard it many times from you, and we know it, so it's a reminder that when that kind of relationship is off, we get more irritated by people, right? We have a shorter fuse. That seems to be what connects us, prayer, to that kind of relationship with God. So may our challenge as we see Jesus being modeled by that, and making sure that we ourselves are not seduced by the empty philosophies of the world, as they say, and focused right on Christ with that kind of relationship.